So, Danny, we've talked a little bit about what we're thankful for this month, but we haven't had a chance to talk about while we're kind of doing a little different Thanksgiving, what's something that you're going to miss this year since we may not have the same Thanksgivings we normally do?
Oh man. So we usually do a pretty small Thanksgiving anyway. So we're pretty lucky that it's not going to be effective. It's just usually my family and my parents. But I will miss getting up early in the morning on Friday and going out and doing
Are you a
Black Friday.
shopper?
I mean, usually no, but I usually get up and like start the interneting, like trying to get all the deals. I think the last time I went Black Friday shopping, I was pregnant with my son. I was like almost having a baby, and we had to get sheets. And so we went at like 5 in the morning. What about you? What are you gonna miss?
I just saw an announcement this week that the Macy's Day Thanksgiving Parade is going to be like severely shortened to like one block. I was
Oh.
surprised they're even going to do it at all, but I think that's kind of a tradition for us is to watch that and maybe we toss around a football a little bit depending on who's available. But those are some
Yeah.
things that I'll kind of miss this year.
Yeah, so we watched the parade as well. Waiting for, Santa to come in. Zachary likes to cut the parade off to watch football, make my mom mad.
Yeah.
Those kind of traditions.
I will tell you what always, there's going to be one tradition that I miss most of all, though.
What's
It's
that?
when somebody rings the dinner bell.
Mwah.
So, Danny, I'm curious. I know you have a lot of experience teaching. Have you ever had any experience teaching in a different language?
Oh my goodness. No, not even a little bit. I am the most single language speaker. I tried to pick up French in junior high and high school, and it never stuck. What about you?
Well, I have taught, some different things in another language when I was in the Philippines, right? And I actually had to
Oh.
teach English to Filipinos while I was speaking Tagalog mostly, but then I would occasionally have to use English because I was teaching English. So it was kind of this weird inception moment where I was inside of a country speaking a different language, trying to speak the language that they speak, but also the one that I was trying to teach them. So it was very, very confusing.
Yeah, absolutely. So I feel like a lot of people in Utah, because of our culture, do get an experience learning another language if they end up going on an LDS mission somewhere. But our kids are getting an even better opportunity to
No
learn
doubt.
another language. So there's a lot of immersion classrooms throughout the state of Utah, and we have a couple of experts here with us to talk about Spanish dual immersion. So today we have with us Alberto and Mario, known as the E-Twins, and they are award-winning educators and presenters originally from Spain that moved to Utah several years ago to teach 5th and 6th grade at a Spanish immersion school. The E-Twins have presented at many conferences and events across America and Europe, sharing their expertise to help teachers transform their practice. Currently, they're working on their PhD focused on future-ready skills at a university in Madrid, Spain. We'd like to welcome Alberto and Mario. Hello.
Hello, everyone. Hi, everyone. Thank you for having us today.
Thanks for being
We're
with us.
excited, yeah. And as Danny mentioned, we've heard a little bit of your bio. We're excited to find out about so much of what's brought you here to our state. But before we can jump into the interview, we've got a few questions from some of the students across Utah. They would like to get to know you both a little better. You mind if we share a few kid questions with you?
Of course, we would love
We
that.
are ready.
They're here for
All
the kid
right.
questions. They're not here for us.
Yeah.
They're here. The first kid question, and we'll start with you, Alberto.
Which do you like, dogs or cats?
I like dogs more than cats. We've never had a dog, never, never, because we used to travel a lot. But I would love to have one in the future when I have a family and a big house.
And how about you, Mario? Are you a dog man or a cat man?
I'm not like a no pets man, probably. I'm sorry, but I mean, like, I like pets, you know, but when they're not mine, I don't have to take care of them and all of that. And the thing is, like, I love to travel, and I travel, like, we used to travel a lot. So I don't think it's fair for a pet, you know, like, have owners who travel all the time because they are not with you, or you need to leave them somewhere else, you know. So I think, like, if I put in a balance, I would say traveling and having pets, I would do traveling, you know. So that's why I think I would never have one.
So no you class pets?
Yeah.
Right? They're van. They're...
You just need to have a comfort animal so you can take them on the plane with you.
Yeah, fish or something like that.
Let's move into our second question. And we'll start with Mario.
If you would be on every sports team, which one would it be?
Right. That's an easy one. Real Madrid, you know, soccer team.
Yeah,
you know,
Real Madrid.
Yeah, we are from Spain. That's all we do. Play soccer and talk about soccer, right? Oh. I would play for Real Madrid, no doubt. And yeah, I would say soccer and Real Madrid, yeah. Roberto?
Same. I will bench Mario and play for Real Madrid as well. While he, like, takes me the water I need.
You'd make Mario the water boy, huh?
The water boy, yeah.
I'm surprised now that you've moved to Utah, you haven't adopted Real Salt Lake as your team? I mean,
yeah,
it's about the same thing, isn't it?
Yeah, well, kind of. It has Real. So we got season tickets for two seasons, for a couple of seasons.
Oh, very cool.
Every game and all of that.
We have the jersey, so we are, we're pretty much into that too. So.
That's so cool.
Well, shockingly, we weren't surprised by that response from you both.
An easy one, right?
Yeah. Let's go to our third and final question. We'll start with Alberto.
What is your favorite word?
That's a good one. I'll say empathy.
Empathy. Ooh.
Could be my favorite word. I think me as a teacher is one of the things I always tell my students, and it is how I try to live my life, like trying to have empathy and try to understand like other people's points of view and try to understand their background and why they do things. And I think that most people should have empathy towards like other people or trying to understand their points of view.
I love that.
How about you, Mario? Pressure, yeah. Mario.
Yeah. So like following what Alberto said, kind of probably respect. You know, because yeah, it's kind of the same, but better because it's coming from you. Yeah.
Now, my question is, would your word change if you were giving us a term in Spanish?
Oh,
yeah, probably. I don't know. I don't think it would change. It would say respeto as well, you know, in Spanish, yeah. Because I think right now, in the society that we live, you know, it's so hard. I mean, like what I'm seeing is like a lot of people don't respect each other's opinion. You know, like you might agree with something or you might not agree with other people, what other people think, but you need to respect that. You know, they have an opinion as well as you do, and they are not less intelligent or they're not less smart because they think differently. You know, it's just, and lately we are seeing, you know, like a lot of people just not respecting other people's opinions.
And that's coming from empathy. That was my word.
Yeah.
Well, I think those are two very good words for 2020. And I like that you both are teaching both of those words to students. So first of all, I got to know, how did you end up in Farmington, Utah, teaching for Davis County Schools in their dual immersion program?
Oh, it's a long story.
It's a long story.
Give me the quick one.
The listeners have time because it's a 2-hour story. Like, so we were studying our last year of university. So we were looking for a place to do our internship our last year. So we saw this program that is called AMIDI, that pretty much is a nonprofit organization that what they do, they match like student teachers and school districts around the United States.
So pretty much you send your application to this program and you go to this huge pool of candidates. And then the school districts go to this pool of candidates and they pick the ones that they want, you know, them to do the internship in their district. And so like we applied for that program and we were picked, you know, to come here to Utah. And it was funny because we got an email and it said, okay, you're going to Syracuse. And we were like,
we did our, it's right now in
New York,
but we did our internship in Syracuse.
And so we Googled that and it was like, it took us straight to New York. And we were like, this is amazing. And a student city, you know, like we go out and have some fun, you know, party and all of that because we were 20. Back then. And then it was, we're so excited, you know, great university, great campus.
Sports,
you know, it's, we saw Syracuse, Utah, which we love it, you know, but it's kind of like more like a farmer.
Yeah, it's a different scene.
Yeah, more quiet and all of that. So we were like, all right.
So I'm kind of curious, did you always plan to teach in the United States? Was that always part of your goal?
That was kind of growing up. So we have this mentality that it may sound weird for some people, that is like, we don't want to live in the same place all our life. So for example, we felt like we wanted to experience something else before move back to Spain forever. So we wanted to have an experience like this. So we say, why not United States? It's a good country in that way. Like, and we can like learn English and like, you know, like get a different point of view. We love to learn about different cultures, about different like countries.
And point of views. And I think like if you experience something else, it's gonna open your mind. You know, as I said before about respect and all of that.
And empathy.
Our empathy. The way that you live, you know, it's not the best way. It's just a different one. You know, like people sure. do different stuff in different parts of the world. And you need to experience those to be able to open your mind, you know, and to be able to just try to understand people in general.
So we didn't want to do it here in like United States, like, but we knew we wanted to have an experience like this.
You know, it's interesting as you're describing kind of your own personal belief in having a new experience. It seems like a lot of the students that you teach by going into a dual immersion program, that's important to their families as well. And that's something that they've prioritized. Maybe you can tell us just a little bit about what you see as some of the benefits of students going through a dual immersion program. Alberto, do you want to start with that one?
Yeah, sure. I think that there are many benefits of it. Like we always say that to be able to speak a language, you need to understand the culture behind it, to speak it and to understand it. You cannot fully kind of master a language if you don't get the culture behind it. So like that cultural aspect that opens your mind, again, we talk about respect, empathy, all of those things like are coming with a language. Also like learning a new language, like teach you like problem solving skills, teach you all those skills that are really needed in the world, future ready skills that they are going to use in their future. So it's not just the language, it's the skills that like come like with that like learning. As I say, like and decision-making, problem solving, right. All those are great too.
Yeah, and as Alberto said, like you always think about dual immersion and you think about the Spanish. But as Alberto said, it comes with more things. You know, for example, our students are solving problems every second. You know, they don't know a word. They need to find another way to say it. You know, they're like kind of like solving problems. And they're super used to solve problems, you know? So when our students just, you know, like we give to them a real world problem, like the way that they solve the problems, it's amazing, you know, how they think, because they are used to think differently, to be able to say something else or try to find a word. And another very important thing is the culture, what Alberto said, you know, sometimes we kind of see that our students live in a bubble. You know, like they think what they are living here is the only way that everyone is living. You know, this is the best way to do it. They take for granted a lot of things, like, for example, technology. You know, technology is not a right. It's a privilege that you have, you know, and it's hard for them to understand that not everyone in the world have the same opportunities. Mm-hmm. So having teachers and having people teaching them from different parts of the world gives them a perspective that, you know, like things are not like this everywhere.
Or having that language to kind of read articles from other countries always
opens their mind, because like not every country speaks English, or not every author published in English. So having that Spanish to learn more from like local people around the world, from like Spanish speaking countries, is also huge for them.
And like you guys were saying, it's so much better when we can use the culture as some of the teacher beyond just learning the language. We learn about the people and what's important to them.
Yeah, I think it's a completely different experience, you know. And we were away as well. When we went to school in Spain, we were kind of learning English. I said kind of, because actually when we came here, we realized that we didn't know any English. You know, even we took it for years and years.
We hated it. And it was so frustrating, that going to Harmons or Walmart. And I mean, the guy couldn't understand me. And I was like, why? But I've been like, you know, learning English for so many years, I should be able to communicate with this guy. And the point is like, we were not taught in that way. It was like just frustrating for us to, it was also eye-opening for us to see that it was the way we were taught was not working. So.
Yeah, it was more like grammar, writing, and all of that, which is great, but they need to teach you how to communicate, you know, like why do you speak to communicate? Why do you use a language to communicate? Are you going to communicate well learning about grammar for 10 hours per week? No, of course you're not. It is important, but actually the most important part is to have that ability of communicate what you think or what you want to express.
And like kind of like sharing that what you want to say. So for example, I tell my students that the important thing is to give what you want to, like the message you want to communicate. Even if you make a couple of grammar errors, you are still communicating with that person. So I think that that's why like the immersion programs are so successful here, because they are focused on like giving that message to the listener, rather than like having like 24 hours, 24/7 like grammar.
Yeah,
absolutely. It's fun. I'm seeing Fernando nod along that he's had a similar experience with learning a language.
Yeah, and I can just jump in a little bit. I had a little bit of a similar situation when in Ecuador. I'm from Ecuador, if most of the listeners didn't know that, but I took English classes, but it was the same thing. You know, they taught me perro, you know, dog, gato, cat. But they didn't teach me how to communicate and form sentences and all that stuff. So when I came here, my parents and I were like, yeah, I think it'll be easier. Not easy, but like easier as a transition to learn. I came here when I was 14. So it was a very big opening, big eye-opening, shocking experience to go in the classroom and not understand a single word that was said, because I didn't know anything really, you know. So it took me a couple of months to start speaking a little bit. And it was basically because I was watching TV in English, listening to music in English, and all the friends I had pretty much spoke English to me at all times. So then after that, I had a very hard time with the grammar, and then it just all came easier because I was able to communicate and understand what my teachers were telling me, and you know, make those changes to whatever I was learning. So
I love it. It's really interesting, like how you go from teaching the grammar and then it just didn't make any sense, and then just using the words to communicate and starting to think in that other language, which is somewhere I never got. So we are here with Alberto and Mario, the E-twins, and we are going to take a break and we'll be right back. Many educators and students are familiar with Utah's online library, but another excellent tool for accessing information is eMedia.
That's right, Danny. eMedia is a digital library of educational resources created specifically for Utah learners. You can search by grade level, educational standard, keyword, and more.
You get to explore, create, and collaborate with educators from around the state to improve curriculum. Jared, you'll like this. It's kind of like Pinterest, but specifically for educational resources.
I don't know what you're referring to.
You love Pinterest.
Anyway, Danny, in spite of your pleas for me to go use Pinterest, please go to emedia.uen.org to browse resources today.
emedia.uen.org.
So we're back with Alberto and Mario, known as the E-Twins, and we've been talking about dual immersion, but we also wanted to think about, what about students that aren't in a dual immersion class or teachers who don't teach in dual immersion? What are your suggestions for helping students kind of learn about people and places around the world, even if they're not using language as some of their primary way of teaching?
So that's a great question. So we like to use Skype, for example, to connect with people, or Microsoft Teams is the platforms that we use. So those connections are great to, again, like open the eye of the students and see more perspectives. For example, we like to Skype with people around the world, not just people that speak Spanish, just like people that, for example, we've done with Russia, like Kenya, wow. All of these places that is just, so I remember one lesson we did, we were learning about different houses around the world. And what we did is that connect with people like from Russia, Kenya.
It was like Russia, Kenya, Sri Lanka, Thailand, you know, with all those people.
Wow.
Yeah, we asked them to kind of like to create a kind of a presentation, you know, of their houses, how they lived and all of that. And it was shocking for our students, you know, because for example,
I love it.
Kenya, some places they don't have a door. So they clap twice, you know, to let them know that they're coming in. You know, and all of those things that were very, very shocking for our students, and they learned a lot. So as Alberto said, it's this like a Skype in the classroom program, and everyone has access to it. So it's just go to their website, and there you have lessons or like guest speakers if you want, or different to connect with. So
I think that's super cool. So I haven't done it for a while, but the last time I taught it was mystery Skype. So you kind of play 20 questions back and forth. And I did it with a group of teachers with, I think it was a fourth grade classroom in New Zealand. So I was teaching after school hours. Mm-hmm. And so they were in school and they heard, the teachers heard the accents and they were like, Australia, done, moving on. And the all the students were like, no. And so then they were just like, oh, and they were totally stumped. It was so fun and so funny. Like, what a great way to get to see the world.
Exactly.
It is. It is just awesome. And, you know, like at the end of every Skype, during the Skype, we let the students like ask questions to the guest speakers. And it's just mind blowing the question they ask. It's like something like, do you have McDonald's over there? Like questions like that, that, you know, like it can be funny, but at the same time, you realize that, all right, that's not a dumb question. I mean, question is like, all right, they want to see if the world works in the same way that it does here in the States. And I don't remember, we were doing Skype with, I don't know the country specifically, but they say no. And everyone were like, oh, we don't have a McDonald's there. What do you eat? Like, okay, guys, like they have other kind of restaurants, or do you have, you know? So it is just mind-blowing the questions they do, and they ask all these like weird questions that are important for them. And it's just like, it's good to see also how the students see the world. Like different students see the world in different ways, or the priorities they have are different. And those questions like means a lot.
Something that my fourth graders would always be asked, because once people found out where we were, we would do mystery Skype and they would find out we were in Utah. A lot of students that we were Skyping with had never seen snow. And so they'd want us to like turn the computer around so they could see the snow outside. And it would just like blow their minds that they just get to go outside and have recess in snow.
Yeah, it is crazy. And it's just like something that, as we were like talking before, it's something that we take for granted here. Like, all right, our winter is full of snow, you know, but like for us, it's like, all right, one more winter storm, right? And for other people, it's just exciting to see the snow because they've never seen it before. So that like...
That's happened to me. For example, I have a new student from Paraguay this year. And then like it snowed, like this week has been snowing, but especially on Monday. And all of my students were like, oh my goodness, it's snowing again. And this guy was super, like, he didn't want to come in, you know, from recess because playing with the snow. And all of my students were like, what is he doing, you know? But it was exciting for him. So that's the magic of, you know, like all of this.
Right.
Well, and it's so fascinating, like you're describing the way that technology can help make the world a smaller place to help us learn more about each other and help us kind of learn beyond just like we've been talking about, you know, respect and empathy for other people and places. Maybe tell us a little bit about how we know that you guys, beyond being dual immersion experts, are also very tech savvy and use a lot of technology in your class. Maybe tell us just a little bit about how technology helps you in your goals in teaching your students.
Okay, this is the question, I would say. It's very, very important because we use technology simply to do stuff that we can do without it, you know? But this is very important to keep in mind. When we and mentor teachers or we do some trainings and all of that, we always teach or tell the attendees, you know, that they don't have to use technology because it is the new shiny thing, right? They don't have to use technology because it is cool or because they're gonna get a good observation grade or whatever, you know? They should use in a meaningful way. It means that they are doing something that they couldn't do before without it, right? And we always say, if you use technology and it's not helping you in anything, or it is even taking more time for you to do an activity, or it's not just impactful to your students, don't use it. You know, you just don't use technology in every lesson you do. You know, you need to use it in a meaningful way. So that is tricky. That is the tricky part. And that's why we do it, you know, to be able to offer our students a learning experience that couldn't be offered without technology.
Yeah, like just like what Mario was saying, I think that technology is just a tool. It doesn't need to take over the pedagogy part of the lesson. So we use technology as a tool to enhance what we are already doing in our classes. So, and all of those things is just, all right, so we are learning about these, I don't know, houses in the world, as we were mentioning before, like, okay, we are going to like Skype with these people because this is going to help. It's an authentic lesson, authentic way for our students to learn about houses. So we're going to use technology to do it. All right, we need to personalize the learning of our students. What's the best way to do it? All right, we have this technology, these 3-4 tools that are to allow us to personalize the learning of our students in a better way. And we couldn't do that without technology.
You know, it's amazing to think about how language really does blend well with ideas like you're describing. Maybe to put a different context on it, you're describing kind of the SAMR model, right?
Where, yeah, SAMR model. Like we always try to go above the substitution or go to redefinition if we can.
Yeah, because as you think about that assignment that you've been talking about with seeing the houses, you had already taught your students the words for the different parts of a house, or, you know, you'd already taught them the language skills that they needed, but you're using Skype to help them really learn about the culture using a house as a topic. And technology makes that happen in a way that you couldn't do just with vocabulary.
Yeah, it does. If we talk about the SAMR model, sometimes it's really, really hard to go all the way to redefinition, right? Sometimes use augmentation or modification because it's just so hard to always like have those like great experiences. But if we try to go all the way up, as you were mentioning, like those things are allowing us to apply the knowledge that we got before, the vocabulary, the verbs about the house, and put that in context with the Skype or other kind of technology.
Exactly. And as part of dual immersion is to use that language in a meaningful context, right? So that's why what we are trying to provide to our students, a meaningful context to use all of the knowledge that we learned during our lessons.
And technology and the immersion programs, I think that they need to be really tied together because it is so hard to bring the culture to the class if you don't leave the four walls of your classroom. So we need to find out or like to create these experiences to bring the Spanish culture to the class. And like technology is so important to make that possible, to bring that culture or the points of view or other like things like that.
Absolutely. So you guys are working on your PhD in future ready skills. What does that mean to you? What is future ready skills for students? What does that mean?
So basically future ready skills for us, it's divided in 21st century skills and emotional learning, you know, because we really think that those two things are going to be super important in the future, right? How to collaborate, how to communicate, how to solve problems. But if you are very good at the 21st century skills, you have those, all of those skills, but you don't have the social emotional learning skills, you're not going to be successful, you know? So how we did our PhD, or what we are doing, is basically we have two different PhDs. I'm doing it more in 21st century skills, and Alberto is more focusing on social emotional learning. So our idea after we finish our PhD is like to put together our both researches and have like a framework, you know, like a big idea of how can we help our students in those two areas.
So basically what the future skills for us are the skills that the students are going to need to be successful in the future. So to be successful in their workplace. So we are trying to guess what's going to happen in the future. That's the hardest part, because actually we don't know what's going to happen. Now the world is changing like a lot.
And it has changed.
In the last six months, right? If we think about this, like a lot of companies, they are not going back to their facilities. They realize they can work online. So it's like, all right, I'm not paying renting anymore. All my employees are going to work online.
But before that, you know, if someone had told you like 10 years ago that right now people would get paid to manage the social media of the companies, you know, like you would have been like, there is no way someone paid, you know, to be kind of like community manager, right?
Yeah, that's not a real job. You don't get to be on Twitter all day for a job.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So like 10 years ago, like if we had this conversation 10 years ago,
the future skills were so different than the ones that we are looking at this point.
And the jobs as well.
And the jobs. So it's like, all right, we're trying to guess what's coming. We're doing our best to do that. But as I were saying, pretty much it's like, all right, you need the 21st century skills, and then you need the social learning and social emotional learning skills to be successful.
And then at the same time, like as the kind of computers are taking over, however you want to say it, you know, like there are some skills that computers can't have, like social emotional learning, empathy, at least not now. We'll see in the future, right? So like to make that difference, you know, or to be kind of useful for the future, you need to have those skills that a computer can't have, right? Empathy, as we said, or social emotional learning, or how to manage a team, or interactions, you know, like social awareness, all of those things. That's why it is so important for us, the future ready skills.
You know, it's amazing as I'm listening to you talk, how our conversation's kind of gone through a full circle here, because we started out talking about empathy and respect, and how teaching in a dual immersion program helps kids understand the walls, you know, the world beyond their walls. And now as you're talking about the work that you're doing in your PhD and using technology, you're helping prepare students for global work or being part of a global community. Regardless of what job they do, they're going to have an impact beyond their state or their country, that they'll be part of a larger whole that we're all part of.
Yeah, and that's the future for us. We can see in the, not like in the long future, like maybe in a couple of years, 3-4 years, companies from, and it's already happening, companies having like employees all over the world, like, and working from home. So like, that's like, the world is so small right now, and I can be working from for a company from China here, or a guy in Singapore can be working for a company in France. So like the world is so small, and the skills that the students need to have to be successful in those virtual environments is something that we need to start teaching right now. Because if we get behind, it's gonna be like a 10 years gap, because by the time they are going to graduate from our classes, this thing is going to be happening for like 10, 15 years, you know, like has already happened. So it's going to be, we need to start teaching those things right now.
You guys are awesome.
Yeah, thank you. As Alberto said, I would like to point out as well the difference between future ready skills or 21st century skills in a face-to-face environment and 21st century skills in an online environment, you know, because we run into this problem when we went remote, you know, in the spring. Our students, I mean, like we do a lot of collaboration, a lot of communication in our classes. But when we went fully remote, we realized that actually our students have a hard time collaborating online. You know, the process that collaboration in a face-to-face environment in our classrooms are completely different than a collaboration online. You know, how you communicate, how you express yourself, how you organize your time. It is completely different, you know? So we realized that instead of just teaching collaboration in a face-to-face environment, we need to teach it as well in an online environment.
I think that is a lesson that a lot of us have been learning over the last 6 months. Like, it can be done, but it's different. And we need to focus on that and how we can really collaborate and communicate with one another in an online environment in a way that's effective and not leaving us feeling, you know, lonely and like we're all on our own little islands.
Exactly. And that's like, and right now it's like going back to social emotional learning, like it's more important than ever before. I think that every single person in this world has a struggle in the last like 4 months mentally with their mental health. It's like, there is no way that you can, I mean, it is just so frustrating for us. It was so hard for us, I think for everyone. And that like working on those things and with the students also that they're struggling, it's really important. And having them ready for the future to deal with these kind of situations are also important.
Well, guys, we know that you are very capable of helping students prepare for the future in multiple languages and in multiple cultures. And we just want to thank you for being our guest here today.
Thank you so much for inviting us. We always love to talk, and we always love to talk about education and have a good conversation about it.
So even though you guys were more excited about Real Madrid than Real Salt Lake, so we'll give you a pass on that. But
respect to Real Salt Lake, but
yeah.
Do you notice how Mario didn't even finish that? But
like. The only like polite way you found to say is like, but.
Well, I have to say, I really appreciate your guys' enthusiasm for education and dual immersion and how to use tech appropriately. So thank you guys so much for being on.
Thank you so much for having us again. We had so much fun with you today. So thank you for having us.
So, Danny, do you want to give the lazy teacher tech tip for today?
Ugh, do we have to do a tech tip today?
Well, this is kind of a podcast about technology, it might be useful.
I just don't have anything today. I'm tired. My brain cells are not firing. I don't want to. Do you want to?
All right, Jared. I'm going to give the tech tip today, and I'm going to do my favorite lazy teacher tech tip move, and I'm going to have our guests give us the tech tip. So, Alberto, Mario, take it away.
All right. So, we have talked a lot about Skype and how Skype helps to enhance the empathy and the respect and to open their mind of the students. So, we are going to give you a tech tip about Skype. So, Mario, how the listeners can access or kind of set up a Skype in the classroom call?
So it's very, very easy. You have three options, which is guest speaker, and you talk with your class with a guest speaker, you know, like an expert in it, in a specific field. Number two would be mystery Skype. So the idea is like to ask questions with other class, and you need to guess where they are at, you know, in what city, or even if you want in what street, if you want to get more specific. And the third one would be virtual field trips. So virtual field trips are basically like normal field trips, but via Skype. So you can book a field trip with a museum in El Cairo, in Egypt. That's what we're going to do next week. You can do with someone in Greece. You know, like if you want to go to a museum or a national park or a state park and you can't leave your classroom, that's you can do. And how do you do it, Alberto?
So could you end up in Syracuse, New York?
or is Utah as well.
You can visit Antelope Island, right? It's Utah. Yeah. So to book one of those things, one of these Skype calls is really easy. You just need to go to education.skype.com and you can create an account there. You can use your Google account, your Microsoft account, or any other emails, maybe your district account. That's a good option too. And there are like thousands of options, as Mario was saying before. Can be guest speakers, can be different organizations offer virtual field trips, or even teachers around the world are also here. You can create your profile and connect with them to do a mystery Skype.
And you have like a search bar that you can type whatever you want and then filter by age group, filter by subject, by, different things that you want to do.
That is such a great tech tip for 2020, because a lot of us are stuck in our houses by ourselves. So why not tour a museum in Cairo? Like, maybe I'll join you guys next week, Mario.
That sounds good.
All right. Well, that's our tech tip for today. So you were exactly right with Alberto and Mario, how everything kind of came full circle, talking about empathy and respect, dual immersion, going into tech skills, and then they just brought it right back with SEL.
Well, you know, it's interesting. When our state first proposed the dual immersion program, mm-hmm. I thought, well, okay, we're trying to teach kids language earlier, but it's so much bigger than that. I mean, these kids really, for living in Syracuse, Utah, or Farmington, or Salt Lake, or wherever they're from, they really do get a cultural experience because of the teachers, not just because of the curriculum.
Right. No, it's really cool. And Alberto and Mario were so great to come and chat with us. And I love how involved they are in all sorts of different things. So it was really great to hear from them.
Well, we appreciate their time and we appreciate you for listening. Have a great holiday, everyone.
Yeah. Happy Thanksgiving. We're grateful for you. Mm-hmm.